You know, around the world today, every single day, hundreds and even thousands are being persecuted and losing their life for their testimony to the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet, years and years and years ago, there was a young man who wouldn't back down, and he was the very first martyr of the church. And it wasn't Paul, and it wasn't Peter, and it wasn't James, and it wasn't John. It was a young man named Stephen, a layman, not even a preacher. This morning I want to share with you from the 8th chapter of the book of Acts. Last Sunday, you'll remember, I preached concerning the Macedonian vision of the Apostle Paul. If you go to chapter 10 in the book of Acts, you'll see the vision that Peter had up on the rooftop in Joppa when the vision was a great tablecloth that came down held by the four corners. And all manner of animal and even slithery, slimy things were in there. And the Lord said, "Eat." Now, you expect Peter to have a vision. You pretty much expect Paul to have a vision. But how many of you understand that you need to have a vision? Stephen, who went to his death as the first martyr, was one of seven laymen chosen by the church to serve the church. And one of the others was a young man named Philip. And that's who we're going to think about this morning. We're going to think about Philip. Now, in this 8th chapter of Acts, there are actually two separate kind of stories. There's what I consider to be the main part, and that's verses 4 through 8, and then verses 26 through the end of the chapter. Now, that deals with a great revival that took place in Samaria. And then tucked in the middle of that, verses 9 through verse 25, is the story of a man called Simon. Many say Simon Magnus, Simon the Great, or at least he thought he was great. And you know, it's a funny thing, it never fails that when God begins to do a great work among people, the devil raises up someone to try and derail the train. But that didn't happen, and I'm not concerned with that part of the story. I'll preach that some other time. What I'm going to do this morning is something I never do. I'm going to read verses 1 through 8, and then I'm going to skip right over to verse 26 and read the rest of the chapter. And when I do that, you're going to see just how that fits together seamlessly without inserting the other story. I want us to get this part right. So as we begin reading then, read in chapter 8, beginning in verse 4. I'll read through verse 8 and then go to 26. Therefore, and by the way, there had here again been a great persecution of all the Christians in Jerusalem, and they had been scattered by this persecution. The Bible says, "Therefore, those who had been scattered went about preaching the word. And Philip went down to the city of Samaria and began proclaiming Christ to them. And the multitudes with one accord were giving attention to what was said by Philip. And they heard and saw the signs which he performed. For in the case of many who had unclean spirits, they were coming out of them shouting with a loud voice. And many who had been paralyzed and lame were healed, and there was much rejoicing in the city." Then beginning in verse 26, "But an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, 'Arise and go south to the road that descends from Jerusalem to Gaza. this is a desert road. And he arose and went, and behold, there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of her treasury. And he had come to Jerusalem to worship. And he was returning and sitting in his chariot and was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, "Go up and join this chariot." When Philip ran up, he heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and said, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And he said, "Well, how could I unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to come and sit with him. Now, the passage of Scripture which he was reading was this: "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter. As a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he does not open his mouth. In humiliation, his judgment was taken away. Who shall relate his generation? For his life is removed from the earth." And the eunuch answered Philip, and he said, "Please tell me, of whom does the prophet say this? Of himself or of someone else?" And Philip opened his mouth, and beginning from the scripture, he preached Jesus to him. And as they went along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "Look, water. What prevents me from being baptized?" And Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he answered, he said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And he ordered the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip as well as the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more, but went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he passed through, he kept preaching the gospel to all the cities until he came to Caesarea. Pray with me for a moment. Father, what a joy your word is, and what exciting things happen as the Holy Spirit gets a hold of your people. Oh, I pray that that Holy Spirit might fill this place and that you might just clutch lives in your hand for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. Well, you see that there was a great revival that began. Now, by the way, I wanted to tell you this. The message today is not long. It's a strange thing, but as you study the Bible, as you study the scriptures, as you even go and look at different commentaries, you know you're not going to find a whole lot that's written about Philip and about this incident. I think the reason that that's so is because it's pretty evident what was going on, and it's not hard to understand. The first thing I would say to you from verses 4 through 8 is simply this. You may not understand where you are. You may not understand why you are where you are, but share Jesus in this place. Have you ever ended up somewhere where you surely didn't think that's where you belonged? I have ended up in places. I have walked. I'll tell you a story about when my children were in school in New Orleans. I was in seminary. My daughter wanted a Bible. I think it was the Good News for Modern Man. It was whatever the newest phase was, newest fad for youngsters. She was a teenager. And I looked everywhere, and everybody was sold out. I dropped my boys off at school one morning, and right across from the school I had never noticed before, there was a bookstore. And it was called the Patriot Bookstore. And I thought, well, there's one place I haven't looked. And I went, now, I should have known. I'm not some dumb kid. I've been around a little. When you go to a bookstore and there's a peephole, you probably shouldn't even knock. But you know, I just walked up here and knocked on the door. And that little peephole slid open. I saw that eyeball. And the door opened and said, come in. I went inside and lo and behold, I was in the middle of a Ku Klux Klan store. I mean, they had everything from robes to little, you know, women collect those little angels. Well, there was one in the white coat and the pointy hat. And you know, what do you do when you find yourself in that place? Well, I walked around and whistled. You know, and I made it out as quick as I could. Many times in life we find ourselves in a place and we don't understand why we're there. But I can assure you of this, God knows why you're there. You see, God has a plan and God knows where to get a hold of you. And when you find yourself in a position where you don't understand why you're there, the important thing is that you share a witness for Jesus while you are there. You know, all things work together for good. That's what the Bible says to those who love the Lord, who are the called according to his purpose. And so when you find yourself in a place that you don't understand, understand that God knows and all things work to his good if you're living for him. Secondly, though, you need to understand that God will always honor his word. There was great revival in Samaria, of all places. two things about God's word are this. First of all, God's word never returns void. Never returns void. And secondly, God's word always, always accomplishes the purpose for which he sent it. You know, I don't know about you, but I don't know very many things that I can say that of. That there will always be the reaction from that word that God intended. That's because the Holy Spirit of God infuses that word and drills it right into the heart of the person that hears it, and God reaps from that. Secondly, and this comes directly from verse 26, and it's so simple, I bet you wish you'd have preached it. Always be prepared to go. I live with a woman. Now she's here. But I guarantee you, she's prepared to go. Oh, I'm not being spiritual and talking about heaven. She's ready for that. But I mean, if I said to her, going out the door, you know what, honey, we hadn't seen the kids. We ought to just drive up to Birmingham and see the children. She'd say, I'm ready. And she'd be ready to go. Always be ready to go. Now, Philip was in the middle of a great revival. Don't mess with the preacher when it's revival time. When God's at work, people are being saved. The invitation sees the altar crowded with repentant folks. Don't mess with the preacher. And yet God had something else in mind. And the angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, and he said, arise and go. Now, it doesn't matter where he told him to go. He said, arise and go. And did you see what Philip did? He got up and went. The point is simply this. In the midst of everything that goes on, is anyone here ever busy? You know, I'm getting too old for too many Fridays like I had. I almost died Friday. I didn't even get a nap. You know what? We need to understand that our lives are busy, but in the midst of all of it, keep your ear tuned to hear God speak. and to hear God call. What if I had a case like that with a little child? God had given me the privilege to lead everyone in her family to the Lord around their kitchen table one night. And that Sunday, they all came in the invitation except little Mary. And she was, I thought, too small. And at the end of the service, they'd made their profession of faith. People were happy. They're all hugging them. You know, tears are flowing. I'm standing at the door shaking people's hands, and there's something tugging on my pant leg. And I looked down. It was little Mary. I said, "Mary, isn't it a wonderful day?" And she looked up. She said, "Brother Bob, you don't understand. I want to give my life to Jesus too." She told me that night at the table. And you know what? I was caught up in the business of taking care of those other folks. Don't ever, ever be so busy that your ear doesn't hear the call of the Lord. Secondly, as a Christian witness, do you understand that you're always on call? Any of you ever have a job where you are on call? Oh, I hate that. Don't you just hate that? Carol was in the apartment business when I was in seminary, and I'll never forget the police coming to our house at midnight one time. She was on call. And there had been a report that there was some unsavory character hanging out in one of the apartments, and the policeman said, "You have to go with me." Now, in New Orleans, when a policeman says, "Go with me," you better go. You're always on call. You never know what's going to happen when you pick up that phone and you're on call. The point is simply this: when you are on call, your time is not your own, and as a Christian, you're always on call. Your time's not your own. Your time belongs to the Lord. Third, when you do get up and go, and I love verse 26, the angel tells him that he's supposed to arise and go, and verse 27 said he arose and went. Now, I like that. I like folks like that. Angel said, "Arise and go." He arose and went. When you get up and go, be sensitive to keep your divine appointment. God sent you there for a purpose. Now, and you have to think about the road to Gaza, okay? Probably what the literal translation would mean, the road of Gaza or old Gaza, which was gone. It had been destroyed in I think, 53 B.C. It doesn't make any difference. It wasn't there. All it was a desolate place in the road, but this road was the major thoroughfare for trade into the northern part of Egypt. Half of the trade that entered Egypt was on that road. And what I'm telling you simply is this: that Ethiopian eunuch in his chariot was not the only one on that road. And Philip had to be sensitive to who it was. Do you think that God was working in everyone's heart on that road? No. He was working in the heart of one Ethiopian eunuch who was on his way home. That was what God was doing, and he called Philip to be a part of it. You need to be sensitive to divine appointments. You need to expect opportunities when God puts you somewhere. He doesn't put you there just because you look good there. He puts you in a place because he has a purpose for you to fulfill. Thirdly, be bold. Here was the Ethiopian eunuch. He's reading the Bible. Philip never saw him, and he never saw Philip before in his life. And Philip ran up beside his chariot and said, "What are you reading?" Now, if the eunuch had been having a bad day, he might have said, "None of your business." He showed that he was frustrated. You need to be bold, but you also need to listen. There was frustration in his voice. Philip said, "What are you reading?" And he said, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And the eunuch said, "How can I unless somebody helps me? Here I am, I've read it over 40 times, and I still don't know what it said because I don't have someone to help me." And you remember his question, he said, is the prophet talking about himself, or is he talking about someone else? And so you need to be sensitive, you need to be bold, but you need to listen. You know, too many times, just because we've got the answer, we think that we just need to spill it out there. We need to listen, and God will let us know how to deal with people. The passage tells us that Philip started at the beginning from this scripture. Take people where they are and lead them to Jesus. First of all, let the scripture speak. The Ethiopian was under conviction. He was concerned. He was confused. He was under conviction, and the scripture had done that. But secondly, then, you need to speak to the scripture, but get to the gospel. You know, too many times we begin to answer someone's question, and all of a sudden it becomes a point of scholarship rather than spirituality. He could have went through the entire history of what was going on in the day and where Isaiah was at in his ministry, and it goes on and on and on. But that's not what he did. Years and years ago, Spurgeon told his young preachers, he said, "Take your text and then cut across country as quickly as you can to the cross." And that's exactly what he did. We don't have to be the expert, because this isn't Jeopardy. There's more at stake. The precious lives of people are at stake, and we need to, as quickly as possible, get them to the foot of the cross. Yes. If your ego demands that you be an expert, be an expert in Jesus. Amen. Be an expert in Jesus. Do you remember what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 2? He said, "When I came to you, I came not knowing anything but Jesus and him crucified." This coming from one of the greatest educated people of the day. Last, don't glory in success. It belongs to God. In the last part of what we read, it said that the Lord snatched Philip away. Why, Philip didn't even get to take this guy to church and say, "Look what I did." I want you to understand something. It's never important what you did. What's important is what you'll do. What you did is behind you. What you'll do is the opportunity that God lays before you. Don't bask in the afterglow. Be alert for the next assignment. Each person here needs a vision from God to guide your life, to guide your life, to help you understand why you are where you are in this moment, and help you understand how to share Jesus right here. Each person here needs to see that fresh vision from God that Philip saw and was obedient to. Let's pray together. Father, I pray that your vision might never be wasted on a single one of us. I pray that we might be so in tune with your Holy Spirit, Father, that we can hear the slightest whisper and follow your leading. Father, I pray most of all that our hearts be set on the Lord Jesus Christ, and that that be of primary importance. Not that Jesus is first, but that Jesus is all in all. Father, I pray that you might speak to each heart, and that in all of it you might have honor and glory. In his name we pray. Amen. I invite you to stand quietly and prayerfully. Heads bowed, eyes closed. I don't want you to sing the hymn of invitation. The praise team does that. I want you to bow your head and pray. Listen for that still small voice. See if God speaks to your heart. And if he does, answer him in a positive way. Come. I'll stand at the front. I'll pray with you. But when you come to Jesus. You don't come to me. And so as the praise team sings this hymn of invitation, step out on the very first note. Will you come to Jesus?